When it comes to teens, you cannot be their best friend, but you should be their greatest fan.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. This week, we're talking about helping. Well, we're trying to help you if you have a teenager. I think all of us that have teenagers in our homes, we can use all the help we can get. And so that's our topic this week. And we've been talking about building that relationship, not letting your teenager take charge of the atmosphere in the house, but doing what is right because it's right to do, not because it's easy to do. But you will reap the benefits later on.
Oh, absolutely. Your teen doesn't fit. We talked about that Monday. They just don't fit. For a little girl, I'm not a woman. I'm not a little girl. I don't know where I fit. No one thinks I'm beautiful. I didn't turn out like Barbie. So Barbie was always bizarre to me. That has a waist of an aunt. Yeah. Who wants to look like Barbie? I don't know. That was a bizarre doll that we gave our children, which we did not give our children. But whatever it is here, your teen, I'm not cool. Does anybody think, unless I'm the quarterback or the captain of the cheerleaders, what am I in this culture? And so they definitely need somebody to be applauding, and they definitely need somebody to be cheering. But make sure you know with your teen what you're cheering. And I think the number one thing you need to cheer is effort. Cheer effort. Don't cheer performance, only cheer effort. And for the parent, you know, the crowds will cheer a soccer goal. I think it's important to cheer effort. We when my son was playing city soccer in the city soccer league, and we were in the city finals, and the goalie wasn't working out, and the coach moved him from up front kicking the goals to back being the goalie, blocking the goals, which was cool because he explained it to Roby later on, you'll do what I tell you to do. That kid wouldn't do what I told him to do, and he'll move around. But Roby had never played that position, and you might as well have put Wilson on his forehead. He got pounded. Yeah, and we lost. Oh. And so he and I went out to eat after the game, and he's a little depressed, felt like he lost it for them, which he didn't. And then I made the statement to him. I said, you know what, Rob? I was unbelievably proud of you today. And he's looking, and his face is saying, why? We lost. And they kicked two goals past me. I said, I was proud of you because you did whatever you were told to do. You jumped right in. You did your best. You gave it your all. I was very proud to be your dad. I was very proud to wear that shirt that says Roby's dad. It was absolutely an awesome game. And then I made the statement, which was hilarious. I made the statement, it's really not all about winning. It's about doing your best. He looked me right in the eye then and said, you don't really believe that, do you, Dad? And I said, no, I'm trying to now, though. And we both started laughing and realizing there's life after this. To be available, to be there. You know, his inclination as a high type A was, okay, wasn't prepared for this. Right after the game, can we go into a soccer field? Will you just, for next year, help me start learning how to be a goalie? I want to learn every position. I want to be ready to do every position. No, that's not it. There's more life than soccer. And as parents, if we're not careful, we put our children and our teens especially in an all-performance world and allow the world to grade their worth. Mm. For us, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're awesome. And even though you're in your teenage years right now and you're wondering where you fit and what you're going to be, he knows the plans of where you're going to be. And so I want to be the one who is their greatest cheerleader, jumping up and down for them. And that means finding a doorway into their world. And for me, finding a doorway into the world, I knew nothing about soccer. You know, in my generation, it was all about football. Even though I went to a high school that had a soccer stadium and a football stadium, and because there were so many ambassadors kids in our high school in Washington, D.C., and they did that. No one showed up for their games. I felt horrible for them. Wow. Yeah, but watching this and realizing that, you know, the next great sport, soccer, I got into that world and learned about it and even showed up and helped during practices, not knowing a clue about soccer. Still can't figure out what offsides is, but jumping into their world. And as parents, we've got to find a little place to jump into their world. Tori's place of, you know, can you make me a dollhouse, and jumping into her world and finding those places where we can continue the relationship.
My husband recently has had to learn a lot more about video games. I guess one game came out and the boys really liked it. And he said he just decided to play with them one day and got beat miserably. And the boys went nuts and want to play with him all the time. He's like, who would have known that getting completely slaughtered in this game would be so fun for them? And I said, well,
think about
it. Yeah, think about what's
going on
here.
You're the goal, Dad. Yeah. If I'm a little boy, Dad's the goal. And to all of a sudden win at this, I remember when Roby got a ice hockey game, video game, and we're down on the floor, lying down on the floor. He's lying down next to me, playing it on the television screen. I can't even find the hockey puck on this screen. And so I'm having to scoot over next to him, and I'm having to get physical and pushing his hand.
He's now the ice.
Oh, yeah.
The puck.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so he's just moving away from me, dying laughing, hitting a goal after goal after goal after goal. It was absolutely awesome for him. And you're right, begging me,
right,
because he could beat Dad. And right, and as we grew older, when he was little, we would go out front and shoot hoop. We have a basketball pole out front. And when he was little, trying to teach him how to reach it and bring it down, and watching him through high school saying, "Hey, Dad," before dinner, "you want to shoot a little hoop?" And I realized that really means, "Dad, you want to go talk." Mm-hmm. And we go shoot hoop and play pig while we're shooting hoop. But it was really while we're shooting talk to each other, because we had built a venue, and it never really mattered whether you won or lost. And catching Dad cheating was the best thing on planet Earth. I think, no, didn't
what
I have a PI?
What good morals you get to teach during games.
"Dad, you know you have a PI, as in pig." And it was just so much fun. But I think we've got to find a doorway into their world. Mm. We've got a counselor here at Sheridan House who deals with the little boys, and he might as well not have an office. He meets them in his office for 5 minutes, then walks this campus. Mm. And he may go throw a football with them. He may shoot a basketball with them on our basketball courts, or he may just go walk through the field here, realizing I've got to find a doorway into your world, and it's certainly not sitting across a counseling table with this little guy. Jump into their world, but you got to decide to do it.
What happens if that teen is just so different from you? I mean, obviously your kids have little bits and pieces of you, and then your spouse as well. But that teen is just off the wall. Like, I don't even know how you ended up being my kid. We're so different. I cannot relate to you at any level. You resist everything I try to do with you. I'm trying to enter in your world and you won't even let me.
Well, we all have that child, and actually next week we're going to talk about a component about that, the angry child next week.
Okay.
But I think that we all have a child who's very, very different, and we would like to say, "I can't identify. I don't know how to do the things." That we have no options. We've got to try to identify. I couldn't identify with gymnastics when they were little. That was a weird thing for me. And going and trying to help and trying to see and trying to watch, showing up in their life and trying to engage them, using the showing up to engage them in conversation. The goal here, remember, in whatever activity we do, is to engage their brain and their heart, not just their body. Mm. But we have been taught in America, subcontract them out and keep their body busy. And an idle hands are the devil's tool. That's not a verse. And busy hands creates an idle brain and heart.
Mm.
The goal is, if we're going to use their hands, the goal is to engage their brain and their heart. And so we've got to find ways to get into them. And we've got to even go the next step of putting it on our calendar. You don't put it on your calendar and it won't happen. If you don't decide this is when we're doing this, this will not happen. When we moved into a house and my Midwest wife, it's a long story to tell this one though, my Midwest wife had been dreaming of a fireplace, and I had a friend who was in my Sunday school class who was an expert with brick. He built her a fireplace in our house, and Roby and I went to the wood shop at Sheridan House and got a friend to actually help me learn how to make a mantle, a beautiful oak mantle for this fireplace. But Roby and I made it together. He was about 9. How much did he actually make? He made some of it, and he sanded some of it, and he cut some of it. And there were one piece he cut we had to recut, and that's okay. He doesn't remember that to this day, by the way.
Wow.
I made that statement now that he's almost 30. Remember the piece we had to recut? No, I don't think that's right, Dad.
That was perfect.
Yes. And so we did that project together, so he helped present that to Mom. Mm. I've got a picture at home in my study of me cutting the lawn in the backyard, and Roby in a diaper with a Fisher-Price lawnmower following me. finding
so cute
things to do together as they grow up. And when they're a teen and it hasn't been done because you've been busy or hasn't been done because you thought about it, jump in. And yes, is it a little harder to get their attention? Yes, it is. It's worth it, though, and it's never too late to get their attention. Let me say that again. I know that personally. There's probably not too many people on planet Earth that were more angry than I was junior and senior year of high school. And watching somebody love me unconditionally and retool my heart that I totally closed up. I will never get hurt again. And when you're blending a family, there's probably a child in that family who is the representative of anger for that family, mm-hmm. and getting to that child's heart. And that's the hardest child, the last child, the least child you want to get to, and choosing to go after that and choosing to do that.
Now, you're talking about building relationship and all that. But then in the beginning of the broadcast, you also said you don't want to be their best friend. You want to be their fan.
Yes.
What's the difference?
Well, their best friend is not going to do the discipline that's necessary. Best friend is not going to say no. Best friend, the relationship comes before the parenting. I have a job. It's to train them up in the way they should go. And so in this process of building relationship, that one child will think now that they own you because you're trying relationship, Mom, can I do this? Mm-hmm. Mom, can I do that? Mm-hmm. And you've got to say, you already knew the answer to that. The answer was no before. Yeah, but I thought we were, and they're not going to know how to say, I thought we were friends now.
Right.
No, we're still mother and dad, and you're still a mother and child or whatever, and you're still going to hear the word no because I'm the parent here in this house. And in the blending family, they may not call you mom, but you are still the parent representative in that house. And so they still do need to be required to respect you. Mm-hmm. And whether you care much about having that respect, it's biblical that you get that respect, mm-hmm. and you're preparing them for the future. So that you've got to put a plan in place where you're the greatest fan, you're cheering. And by the way, thank you for helping me set the table tonight. That was a big help. And by the way, thank you for helping me cook this meal. Well, I had to, but no, yeah, but you did was awesome. Thank you. And getting them jacked. Remember, we're the only one investing in them. Everybody else is taking from them. Mm. Everybody else wants a piece of them. We've got to invest in them and let them know how precious and valuable they are. If we don't let them know that, for your daughters, there's a little boy that'll let them know how precious and valuable. For your sons, there's idiots that hang out behind the gym in the parking lot that'll let them know how precious and valuable they are if they do whatever. We've got to let them know how precious and valuable they are simply because they are.
Right. But it's almost like you have to look for something positive,
yes,
to
yes.
tell them every day.
Yes.
And you're like, what do I do? Their
yes.
room is a mess.
Yes.
Their grades are not good. And then I still have to find something positive.
You have standards concerning the room. If the room isn't right, then there's a consequence for that. But at the same time, I cannot let them set the atmosphere. I have to carry the thermostat. I have to carry the attitude thermostat. And I've got to decide, I will, you know, and you can be jacked. And here's the other thing. You work all day and you get home and you're exhausted and I'd like to be home, but I'm in an even more intense classroom. Mm. And for many parents thinking, you know, it's tough enough at work, but at least the people at work listen to me.
Right.
But this is the real job. I think this is why I work. I work to go home. The number one ministry I'll be glad I did is the ministry I do at home. And it's a inch by inch by inch by inch process to win that child's heart. And they're going to try to derail me, and they're going to try to get to the thermostat where they say bad mood. I'm going to put everybody in a bad mood. I don't think they do it intentionally. They carry their own moodiness in this backpack.
Yes.
And we want to help them strip it. I'm a loser. No one cares. We want to help them leave that backpack. This is the safe place. This is the fun place. I know there are things required of me, but people actually love me here. We want to put a plan together where I give myself the talk. Now, I used to drive home west into the sun every night at 6 o'clock from work or whatever time it was. And Rosemary put on the visor of my car because I would put the visor down on the way home to keep the sun out. A picture of Tori in piano practice. And in this little picture, she's in this little nightgown. Her hair is soaked from just having her bath or shower. And she's doing something she doesn't want to do. She didn't want to do piano. And Rosemary would sit there on the couch and have some tea and maybe have her book going through a grocery list or whatever. But she'd be listening to Tori for her 20 minutes. And I'm sure Rosemary was multitasking, but Tori wouldn't know it while she's sitting there listening. Saying, that was great. But Rosemary gave me that picture to remind me, this is why you're coming home. Be prepared. You're going to face this little face who tried to set the atmosphere at bad mood. Mom, don't get caught in it. Our job is to get control of the attitude thermostat, especially where our teenagers.
You've been listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. And this week we're talking about helping you if you have a teenager and the issues that come along with that, building relationships with them. And we'll finish out the topic tomorrow, so I hope you can join us for that. If you want to find more resources on parenting and parenting teens specifically, you can find that online at Sheridan House Family Ministries website, shfm.org. Or to hear this broadcast again, share it with a friend and sign up for the daily email blog. You can find that at parentingtoday.org. That's parentingtoday.org.